We're talking today about the mind of the Spirit, that when you were born again, you received a new nature from God. And that new nature also brought to life your inner man. Your inner man has a place of knowledge. We call it the mind of the Spirit, a spiritual brain that gives you the ability to think like God thinks. Before you were saved, that spiritual mind was in darkness, and it could not think like God because it wasn't from God. But when you were born again, your inner man came to life out of darkness, been born again. Now that is the place you must develop and mature. You kind of have a couple philosophies that people live by, and one philosophy is that my spirit's complete. And therefore, I don't need to grow in knowledge. I just need to relearn and learn and think differently. They might say, you already are complete. You're full. And all you have to do is accept it. Just accept who you are. Identify with who you are. And now you just have to think differently. Think different thoughts. God thoughts instead of bad thoughts. But the picture of the inner man and outer man says that your inner man's been born again, your outer man is left in the same condition of darkness and death. So the inner man has a place, a mind, a brain that has the ability to learn from God now because it came from God. You didn't just get a new nature, you also got a new inner man. And that inner man is where you can think from. But it comes into existence at your salvation like a newborn baby. It has to be rebuilt in the knowledge of God. It has to be renewed in the knowledge of God. And so let's look at that today. I want you to consider that you not only have a new nature, but now also you have a new inner man, a place to hold the truth of God. Let's start in John chapter 14, and let me just give you a few verses today for you to ponder. In John 14, verse 17, I'll start in verse 15. I love you, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper. He will give you another helper that you may abide with you, that he may abide with you forever. I pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. He goes on to say, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So here Jesus is telling his disciples, who are not born again yet, because Jesus has not died or been resurrected or glorified yet, so they couldn't be born again. These were Old Testament saints, men of God who loved God, but were not born of God. And Jesus tells them, the disciples, you know the Holy Spirit. He dwells with you. You've seen him work when you prayed for people. You've seen him lead us these 3.5 years. You've experienced the Holy Spirit, but on the outside doing a work upon you and with you. But there's a greater work that I want him to do, and that's when he will be in you. And that's my concern with the majority of Christians today, is those who are hungry for experiencing God have learned how to pursue the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit on the outside, dwelling with them. And that's just like the disciples had before they were saved. It's puzzling to me in the sense of Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. The Holy Spirit is God as much as God the Father and Jesus the Son. He is equally God. He's his own individual. He's been around forever. He never changes. So what does it mean that he's coming? He was already here. He helped in the creation of the world. He's always been here. So when Jesus said he's coming, well, he doesn't mean the Holy Spirit has changed. What he's saying is you are going to change when you get saved, and that will allow the Holy Spirit to work in you because you now are different. So many Christians who are just busy doing the gospel, they're not pursuing the Holy Spirit as a teacher. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach them. The Holy Spirit could not teach the disciples because they weren't born again. Why can he teach them after they were born again? Because they changed. Something in them came to life. And I'm preaching today that what came to life in them was they received the new nature, but also they received a new inner man created in true righteousness and holiness. Now they have a place where they can hold the knowledge of the teacher. That is the job of a teacher, correct? The job of the teacher is to take something the teacher knows and share it with the student until the student knows it. The problem with the disciples before they were saved, they had no place for that truth to go. They had no way of comprehending it because they were of the species of Adam. When you were born again, you became a child of God, of the species of the family of God, a different species. Now you can learn from God truths. He wants to share his wisdom and his truth with you. Let's go to another verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll just start in verse 14. This is Paul talking to Timothy. But you must continue in the things which you have learned, and be assured of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine and reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, when he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, there's a wording in there that some translators say is God-breathed. That Scripture is not just knowledge. It's God-breathed, God-originated knowledge. So let me give you a picture here. There is much great knowledge in the world. The ability of man to think and analyze is high. It's higher than any other species. Man's knowledge is higher than the knowledge of animals, of monkeys, of any animals. Man's ability to think and analyze and put things together is a higher level because that human species is higher than the animal species. It doesn't mean that the animals don't have intellect. All animals have intellect. But man's intellect is higher. Well, that's the point. God's wisdom is higher than man's wisdom. I can't teach wisdom about how to do certain things to my dog. Even though my dog has intellect, it's limited because its species can only go so far. Man's wisdom is higher than animals' wisdom. I cannot teach my dog how to bake a cake or how to fix a car. I can't teach my dog how an iPad works. I don't even know how an iPad works. But somebody does, and they can't teach an animal because an animal is a lesser species. Well, God is a higher species than us. The children of God, which are birthed of God, meaning that a child of God that came from God is a higher species than the human race. They have the ability to know more and think differently than the human species. And I'm trying to emphasize with you today that as a child of God, you have access to the very wisdom of God that came from God. See, in this world, there's wisdom that originated from man's mind. And it's quite amazing what man can do. We can build rocket ships, computers, so many different things. from the wisdom of man. But yet, there's a greater wisdom that originates not from this earth, but from the mind of God himself. This is a wisdom, an ancient wisdom that's been around as long as God's been around. It's the reasoning that he uses when he creates the world. In God's wisdom, in God's mind, when he went to create the universe out of nothing, create the sun and the earth and all the stars out of nothing, it made complete logical sense to him that if I speak it, it comes into existence out of nothing. That's normal for God. That makes sense for God. I saw a movie one time where people went back in time to the ancient ages, and they took their technology with them, and they were doing things that amazed the people that didn't understand that it was possible. And all they were doing was using modern technology to know things, to perform things, to create things in front of people. If someone never had fire and you went and created fire with a match, they go, wow, that's magic. But really, it was just a match. But to them, they had no idea. And so there's things that we can do today that were they couldn't imagine. Can you imagine being 2,000 years ago on a horse and a donkey and a jet airplane flies over you? You would think it's an alien. Like, my goodness, what is that? That's a mystery. That's magic. There's something there beyond what I'm able to experience, that I've experienced or able to know. Nowadays, it's normal. We jump on an airplane and fly across the world, and man, who knows where it's going to go? You know, the Lord tarry, how far man's wisdom can go. So man's wisdom is higher than anything in history and any other species. But there is a wisdom from God where to him it's logical to see the sick healed, to see blind eyes healed. It's completely normal in his wisdom. It makes sense. To him, it's like baking a cake. You add this and that, and boof, you have a cake. It's very logical and practical, God's wisdom, because it's from a different place, a higher place. So many Christians live this idea that I'm meant by God to be ignorant. I'm meant by God to remain mystified by the things of God. His ways are higher than my ways, and I'm just meant to accept what I have and accept my ignorance. But we're learning here that that's not the case. That God wants to teach you. The Holy Spirit wants to be your teacher. And that means he wants to take his understanding of why it's normal to be able to speak things into existence, where it's normal. You don't just, when my mom would make a cake, she doesn't just throw in a bunch of ingredients and throw it in the oven and pray that it works. Oh, I hope it works. I hope it tastes okay. No, she knows if I do this and this and this and cook it for this long, boom, I've got a tasty, wonderful cake made out of different ingredients. It's normal. A mechanic looks at a car and says, yeah, I can do this and this and this, and it will run. And it's logical. Well, there's a logic in God's mind around miracles, around believing in him for things. And many Christians approach it like I'm hoping it works. I'm just blind faith without knowledge. But there is a knowledge of God, of why he believes these things and does these things on a regular basis. There's a knowledge in his mind where you can expect things to work because you have that same logic, that same knowledge in you. But he couldn't put it into the disciples because they were not born again. There was no place to hold that knowledge. I can take my lovely dog, and my dog has a mind. You know, like my dog knows things and has learned things. My dog has a mind, a place to hold knowledge. And I could take all year, 10 hours a day, and teach my dog my wisdom. Okay, I'm going to teach you how to do this. I'm going to teach you how to do that. But my dog would not be able to comprehend it. No matter how much I taught, my dog would not be able to understand that truth, because it's a higher truth than his species can handle. Well, there's only so much knowledge the human species can handle because they are of this world. And you used to be of that species. But when you became born again, God didn't just give you a new nature. He also gave you the equipment to understand, to learn truth from him directly. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And here Paul is telling Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Scripture comes from the mind of God and is breathed through a man. And that's where it became written. And we're actually reading in scripture the very words of God, but it's built on his logic, not your logic, not the logic of man. See, he never expected man to understand his logic. His logic is from another species. And when you were born again, you were made in righteousness, that same righteousness of God. Your inner man was brought to life and equipped with a mind and emotions and desires that desire the things of God and feed off of God's wisdom, but not man's wisdom. So much of the church's philosophy, theology, practices are built on man's wisdom, trying to understand God, when really we should be feeding that part of us. I call it the spiritual mind, that place in you that holds the logic of God. And you already understand this, but the picture that you may be trying to fit it in may not work. Many Christians I know say, well, God spoke to my spirit. He showed me in my spirit. He taught my spirit. They don't see it as a mind. They see it as just a glowing ball of light. When I teach my dog a trick, where does that dog keep that information? You would say your mind. When my mom taught me how to make a cake, where did that logic go? Where did that memory go? You say, well, that went into your mind, Alan. Exactly. So let's look here. There is God-inspired scripture. God-breathed. That means that it originated in his mind. Do you know there's songs that God writes about himself? Beautiful, anointed, incredible worship. But he needs to deposit it on this earth through a human. And so when a human spends time praying in tongues and worshiping God and they're called to write music, God doesn't want them to write their own music. He wants them to write the music he wrote about himself. He wants to inspire it through them. And so there's a number of songs that are anointed because they came from God. They're inspired by God. They're breathed by God. But then there's also a lot of Christian music today that's written by man in the name of God. They're doing their best to write good music about God. Well, God's church shouldn't be singing music written by man to God. God's church should be singing music written by God, inspired by God, given to a man. And the same thing with preaching and teaching and wisdom of church. It should come from inspired, not inspired like, oh, I'm inspired, I'm doing this because I'm passionate for God, but actually written from the mind of God, the logic of God, and given through a man or a woman to minister to the church. And that's really our goal at the prayer center, is to minister only what we believe from our heart came from God. Not things we think will fit, but things we know God gave us. Well, how that brings us to the point, how can we get God's wisdom from his mind to our mind, to where we can understand it, where we're not just rolling the dice for revival, praying for people saying, I hope this works, you know, There's a logic to it, to where we can understand from God's wisdom, oh, this works because this is logical. Just from a different species, it makes sense. It's logical. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that God breathed the scripture, the written word. Paul goes on even throughout scripture to show that it's more than just the written word. It's what God speaks today to us. But the written scripture is written by God from God's mind. It's breathed by Him. That's why the one job I know is secure in this world, that AI, the new AI systems, chat, whatever, cannot steal my job as a preacher, because a computer does not have the ability to understand God. It can understand man's logic, but it cannot understand God's wisdom, because it's a computer. Now, a computer can gather together man's ideas and man's teaching about God, but it can never interpret the Word of God the right way, because it's not made from God. Well, praise God, you don't need a computer system, another human, to analyze the truth of the Word of God, because you have the equipment already in you, a spiritual mind that has the ability to hold the wisdom of God. Now, let's go on. Let's go over to Colossians. Let's just look at a few verses today. I'm trying to paint a picture. When I teach my dog something, how to do a trick, or my dog learns something about the sound of my car, he knows when I pull up before I even come into the neighborhood, he can hear my car. He knows it's my car, he starts howling. Where does a dog hold that knowledge? You'd say, well, does it hold it in his foot? Does he hold it in his arm? Where? Well, we would say, yeah, he holds that. Obviously, he holds that knowledge in his mind. There is a place that God's created in you, in your spiritual man, the inner man, a mind, a place to hold knowledge. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now hold your finger there. I'm going to put a holder there. And let's go over to John. We'll come back to Colossians. John chapter 8, verse 21. And Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Talking to the Pharisees. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. You are from beneath, I am from above. Most Christianity looks at their life as good and bad, that I'm supposed to think good thoughts, love, joy, kindness, and put away bad thoughts, anger, jealousy, envy. That's how it works. But Jesus says he is from above, the human race is from beneath. I want you to get this in your heart today. You've been born of Christ. He gave you his nature and brought to life your inner man. Ephesians says, your inner man, the new man, was created in that moment in true righteousness and holiness. You became a different species, a species from above instead of the species from beneath. And so when we learn about this knowledge, then it's not good and bad, it's above and beneath. In other words, when he was talking to the Pharisees, you are from beneath. Is it possible that a Pharisee was a good Pharisee, maybe a Pharisee in religion, but was kind to his mama and took good care of his kids and maybe fed the poor, that they were a loving Pharisee? See, even the love from beneath is less than the love from above. Even the thoughts from beneath are less than the thoughts from above. Jesus said, I, Jesus, am from above. You are from beneath. You are from this world. I am not of this world. It's time for us believers to realize we are no longer of this world. We are ambassadors from another place, a place called heaven, a place from God. That is who we are from now. We are from above. The moment you're saved, you're born from above, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, so if you're born again, seek those things which are above, not those things that are good, but from above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. So how do we set our mind from things that are above? See, things that are above is the knowledge that's inspired by God, that came from God's mind. It's a higher knowledge that the human race or anything created by the human race will never be able to comprehend or understand. But why can you understand it? Not just because you're born again and you have a new nature, but he gave you the equipment to hold that truth. Let's go to chapter 2. In chapter 2, I'll start in verse 1. For I want you to know, this is Colossians, I want you to know that a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and as for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, be knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the fullness assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So all this, these treasures, all this wisdom, this knowledge from God's mind, which is higher than any human can comprehend, is held in the mind of God. See, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge, meaning you have to go dig it up. You have to go get it from him. Oh, if there was just a way for God to transfer his wisdom to me, that would be great. How do we do that? Well, hello, welcome to praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is how mysteries are passed from God's mind, not to your natural mind, because your natural mind is still of this earth, but it goes past your natural mind into your spiritual mind, which is from God. And that's what I want you to kind of question in yourself and challenge you to think about is, do you have a spiritual place to hold these treasures that go from God's mind? Where is that held? If I told you my fun fact of the month is that Australia is as wide as the moon. That's a fun fact that you maybe never knew. Now you can go impress all your friends and relatives with your fun fact. Did you know that Australia, the country, is as wide, it's actually a little wider than the moon is? They'll go, what? Wow, you're so smart. But see, if I give you that fun fact, in 1 minute little fun fact, you now have that fun fact as your own. You can now share it. Go ahead and share it on the internet. You'll be amazed, all your followers, how smart you are. I shared a truth with you. You now have it. It's yours. 1 minute it took. Now, if you pray in tongues, then if you prayed in tongues and learned anything from Pastor Dave Roberson, you've learned that praying in tongues is the Holy Spirit teaching you. That's one of the main things that praying tongues does, is the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher through praying in tongues. If you prayed in tongues for 2 hours, can I ask you, after you spent 2 hours praying in tongues, what did the Holy Spirit teach you? What did the Holy Spirit teach you in 2 hours? You spent 2 hours with the wisest person in the universe, who knows how to create things out of nothing, but has no fear of anything. And you spent 2 hours with him teaching you. He taught you for 2 hours that you prayed in tongues. For two whole hours, you went shandala, shandala. Tell me, what knowledge did he give you? Every one of us will say, I don't know. I just went shandala, shandala. I don't know what he taught me. But isn't the purpose of someone teaching you for you to receive it? So why can't you recall what he taught you for 2 hours? Hey, tell me something interesting about Australia. What you learned from me in 1 minute and you still remember it. Australia is wider than the moon. But yet you can spend 2 hours with the greatest teacher whose main role is to teach you his wisdom. Where did it go? Where did all that information that he gave you go? I don't know. Well, we know that it went to our spirit, that he taught us spirit to spirit. Oh, so you have 2 hours of truth and wisdom passed over to you, to your spirit. Now, let me just ask you that simple question. Where in your spirit is that knowledge kept? What is the place where knowledge is kept? We say the mind. That's why I can say you have a spiritual mind, because there is a place, a location in your spirit that has a job to hold truth that comes from God, because that spirit man has been born of God. So that is why you have a mind of the spirit that wants to be educated and taught. So when you pray in tongues for 2 hours, that knowledge begins to build up and is kept there. And then one day the inner man begins to fight the outward man and say, hey, what you think isn't real. What you think is wrong. And the inner man, as it grows in knowledge, will help you to overcome the knowledge of the outward man. Many Christians are trying to renew their thinking. I'm going to think differently because I'm born again. I'm complete in God. I just have to think like I am. God's already made me complete. I now just have to think differently. And so they're trying to change the way they think, when really we're supposed to change the place we think from. We're supposed to think from the place that God made in us to think from, called the inner man, the mind of the spirit, which is, when you're born again, isn't complete. Well, it's complete, but it's not mature. It's like when a dog gives birth to a puppy. And that puppy in the womb of the dog is connected to its mother. But the moment that puppy is birthed, it's now its own creature. It is completely a dog, but it's still a puppy. It still has to learn and grow. When a duck comes out of the egg, it's a duck. It can fly, but not right away. It can't fly until it matures. See, and that's what I want you to see about your inner man. Your inner man is born, as Peter says, like a newborn baby. Yes, you are complete. You're completely a child of God, but now you know nothing. See, your new nature, it's complete. It doesn't grow or mature. It is already fully complete in righteousness. So that's how we know that the moment you're saved, you can choose to quit sinning, because your new nature will tell you by conviction The new nature knows how to morally be a child of God. The new nature knows how to tell you instantly, that's not what we do. That's not who we are. We don't sin anymore. That's where conviction comes from in a Christian, is the new nature. The new nature doesn't grow. The new nature does not hold information or truth. The new nature is a little ball of beautiful righteousness that tells you that you are righteous. But it also brought to life your inner man. The inner man is where we must mature and grow in the knowledge of God. And growing in the knowledge of God means that he wants to take his thinking, his understanding from above, from a higher place, and deposit it into a part of you that was created to hold that knowledge, not just to lose it, but to hold it and to learn from it. And then that knowledge will begin to reshape your life, and it will only lead you into the truth, where one day when you go to pray for someone who's blind, it won't be rolling the dice hoping you get lucky. It'll be, oh, this is complete sense. This is how it works. I pray and I speak these words in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost comes through the authority and you're healed. Yeah, be healed in Jesus' name. Everyone goes, wow, and you go, oh, that's normal. Because I have the law, I'm thinking from the logic of God and not from the logic of my natural man. The natural man does not have the capacity. Your natural brain does not have the capacity to think like God, to love like God, because it's not from God. It's a species from the human race. Much of the Christian world is trying to conform their life to be like Jesus, rather than growing up and becoming like Jesus in the fullness that he has for us. That's not possible for the species, the human man, to be like Jesus, but is possible for his children. That's your inner man, your new man. Your inner man was born of God. Your outward man was born of Adam. God's the father of your inner man, the spirit. He's not the father of your outward man, the flesh. Well, let me give you one more verse here just to help you to grasp what I'm trying to say. I want to keep laying this out so hopefully you can see it. When you're beginning to get information, when you get a revelation, and someone says, where did you learn that from? You say, well, I found it deep in my spirit somewhere. Okay, where in your spirit? Well, I don't know, somewhere way down in my belly, somewhere in there. But really, when I teach you how to make a cake, when your mama teaches you how to make a cake, you don't want me to really teach you. When your mama teaches you how to make a cake, or your dad teaches you how to fix a car, where does that knowledge go? Well, it goes to my mind. When you teach your dog a trick, where does he keep that knowledge? Way down in his belly? No, his brain. You have the equipment of a spiritual mind, a place in your inner man that holds the knowledge of God. That's why he says, when you pray in tongues, your spirit prays, your inner man prays, but your understanding, your outward man, is left unfruitful. That's why when you pray in tongues, your outward man says, I have no idea what he said. But your inner man did not miss one little nugget of truth. He took notes in that room, and it keeps that place of logic, knowledge from God. Over in 2 Corinthians, it gives us a glimpse of this. I'll be doing more teaching on this. We'll tackle chapter 4 and 5 in this series, but let's just sneak in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. I hope you can see this picture, that when you were born again, you were given a new inner man, a spiritual part of you that has a mind, emotions, and desires, holding places for the things of God, holding places for the knowledge of God, a holding place for the love, joy, peace of God has already been created in you, but it must be developed and matured. That's why renewing here in verse 16 takes place in the inner man. See, now, let's go up to verse 7, and this will be my last verse, and then I'll I'll leave you with this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, some people teach this treasure is the Word of God in earthen vessels. Well, if you were the disciple before they were saved, I could agree with that, that they were given the treasure of the Word of God in their earthen vessel. But according to this picture, he's talking about the inner man and outer man. So the treasure here, really, if you look in the Greek, you can translate it treasure, but you can also translate it treasure chest. A treasure chest is a place where you hold the treasures. We read in Colossians that there is a treasure. God has the treasure of knowledge and wisdom. He's full of knowledge and wisdom from a different world that he wants to, that we're to go get from him. But where do we put that treasure? What can keep it? Again, I can teach my dog all day long, A, B, C, D, E, F, say it with me, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, say it with me, and when I get around G, he'll go grr, and he may get one. But that's it, that's all he's got, because he cannot hold that truth. God created in you as a new creation. You actually became a complete new creation. The old man, the outward man with his mind, will, and emotions is no longer who you are. That's why we are to put him off, deny him, mortify him. We're going to wear him till the day we go to heaven. And we are to deny him, reject him, mortify him. Because the new man is where the building, the renewing takes place. He created in you a treasure chest inside, an inner man inside of an outward man, a spiritual vessel inside of an earthly vessel, and that is a treasure chest. You have an empty treasure chest that can understand, hold the truth, the treasures of the knowledge of God. And many Christians spend their life serving God, doing things for God with all their heart, and they don't spend time praying in tongues, and all that treasure of wisdom and knowledge in God stays in God. He can't pass it to them. So their spiritual mind, their treasure chest of the Spirit, remains empty for most of their life. Where you can fill that treasure chest with so much of God's wisdom and knowledge, where one day you'll be worried, oh, I'm so worried God's going to provide for me. Oh, please, God, will you provide for me? Then one day the inner man will grab hold of that knowledge and confront the outer man. Say, that's a lie that God won't provide for us. That's a lie. And then you will accept it. You'll mortify that thought and accept the thought of the inner man. You'll begin to think from a different place. It makes total sense. Yeah, God, you know, aren't you worried about your bills? No. Why? God's my provider. He's going to provide for me. But how do you know? Well, I just know. I know. Because he taught me all those hours of praying in tongues. He was teaching me, trust me, I'm your provider. I have already given provision to you as my child. Think about the birds. You know, do they toil and collect, or do they just go out and eat? So will you. Think about the lilies of the field. That will make complete logical sense because you filled your spiritual treasure chest with that knowledge treasure from God's mind. It won't be a hope. You'll have no fear about provision. Why? Because you will know he is your provider from the mind of the inner man. He's given you a spiritual mind, a treasure chest, a place to contain and hold the logic, truth, wisdom that comes from God's own mind. If you'll just spend time praying in tongues, he wants you to know him. He doesn't want to leave you blind, walking around hoping. He wants you to know him to where everything that he asks you to do, it makes sense. It won't make sense to the world, but it'll make sense to you. You are a child of God, born of God. Hope I'm encouraging you today. I appreciate you spending time with me. I love you, and I'll see you again soon. God bless.